We started a series on the beginning of this year called From Death to Destiny. And we're only 3 Sundays into the year. And this whole series is about the trek that the children of Israel took from Egypt, bondage and slavery, to the promised land, to Canaan. And why we're talking about it is because the Bible clearly lets us know, we're going to look at the passages, that says that that whole story of the trek of the children of Israel is for us, for our admonition, for our learning to understand how we make it to our promised land. If you would, put my diagram up there so I can explain what these things are. Praise it. Can y'all see that all right? All right. Egypt represents prison. It represents slavery. It represents being in bondage to sin, bondage to addiction, bondage, not a born-again believer in the world, unsaved. You're with me? And so everything in that story, the children of Israel, God told them to go, told Moses to go get a lamb, every family a lamb, and to kill the lamb and to put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts and on their around their door, and then eat the lamb inside the house. Again, that is a picture of receiving Jesus. Y'all get it? And this whole story is a typology of that journey. The next one is Mount Sinai. They had to go from Egypt to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is, that's what we're working on now and understanding, that it is a picture of discipleship. God wanted them to go and get the word after they got born again. Become a student of the word. And we found out last week, and we'll look at a verse at it this week, that they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to hear God's word. And therein lies why they never made it to their promised land. And also, the Bible lets us know the same issues that they had will have as well if we do the same thing they did. And so it's important that we understand this story and all the typology and the 2 stops that they made. So Sinai, and we're going to talk further about that today, because before you make it to the wilderness, you're going to need, and back, in fact, there is some wilderness even before Sinai, before they got the word. And so we'll look at all that. But the wilderness represents testing. This is how life is. You, as a born-again believer, you come out of sin and bondage. You're supposed to be discipled in the word, and then you get tested on what you learned. It's just like school. Just like school. In school, you got to go to class, and periodically there's tests and quizzes to test you to make sure that you're learning and getting what you've been taught so that you can move on to the next level. Amen? Well, they never got the word at the beginning, so of course they were doomed from the beginning. And herein lies why many believers die early in life, why they're sick, why they're broke, busted, why they never pass many of the tests that come in life, because they didn't get discipled properly. And that's what we're working on. But the wilderness represents testing. Well, and when we get there, and we'll start there next week, and it's important that you be here. And by the way, if for some reason you have to work or something comes up and you'd miss it, always online. Our services are online immediately after service. Now, that doesn't mean sit at home and just watch it online. The Bible tells us, and we'll get to all that, that the importance of being in church. You're wrong if you think it's all right just to sit at home and watch church on television. Wrong. That is not scriptural. Amen? Okay, amen. So the wilderness represents testing. Testing. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses had wilderness in his life for 80 years. Paul had a wilderness in his life for 3 years. Every believer must go through testing to be qualified for the next level. Are you with me? And we'll get into the details. That is some of the most important stuff you need to understand, because all of us are being tested in life. All of us are being tested in life. And if you feel like you're stuck in life, it's because you've not passed the test of life. Now, you do need to be tested before you walk into Canaan. Canaan is not heaven. Many believers have thought that Canaan land was heaven. No, the children of Israel, once they got the lamb, they're in heaven. They got the lamb. That's a type and shadow. Being born again is different from being a disciple. It's what enables you to walk in the Canaan land, which represents the provision, the promises fulfilled. At Canaan, you've got to get the promises. You find out what the promises are and the principles that bring them to pass. You get the promises and the principles in the school of discipleship. So you can pass the test. Tests are problems, challenges. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so when it looks like it's not going to work out, if you're discipled properly, you'll know what the truth is. But many people never walk out the promises of healing, the promises of abundance, the promises of their destiny. The promises, you've been gifted uniquely from every other person on the face of the earth. You are not just the product of your parents' passion. You are the product of God's purpose for your life. But many believers never walk in it. And so they struggle throughout their entire whole life because they haven't been discipled. And that's why we're talking about this. And that's why God put it on my heart in such a major way that I've got to disciple the people. And we'll see it from the scriptures, all right? So Canaan is not heaven. Canaan, you're going to heaven if you've really got Jesus and you're born again. Canaan represents provision of all the promises, walking out healing, walking out your abundance, walking out your assignment and call. Amen. So y'all get that? Now, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look at verse 1 through 11. Again, I wanted you to see it in the Good News Translation. We're going to read this passage again today. Watch, because Paul outlines what was the problem with the children of Israel, some of the challenges they ran into. He says, I want you to remember, my friends, what happened to our ancestors who followed Moses. They were all under the protection of the cloud. And why I keep saying all is because all of us have the same opportunity as believers. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter how you were born. If you were born and your parents didn't plan for you, doesn't have any bearing on this. All of us, as born again believers, get the same opportunity because our walk is by faith and not by sight. It's not based on the color of your skin. It's not based on all the things that world success is based on. Are you with me? He says they were all under the protection of the cloud and all passed safely through the Red Sea. In the cloud and in the Red Sea, they were all baptized as followers of Moses. Again, typology. We're all baptized into followers of Christ. Are y'all with me? Say typology. Y'all get it? It's a picture of the Old Testament is the new. The Old Testament is the new concealed. The new is the old revealed. The new is the old explained. The old is the new contained. Y'all like how I put that together right there? I love this job. I just do, Joe. I love it. In the cloud and in the sea, they were all baptized as followers of Moses and drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that went before them, and that rock was what? Christ himself. So again, remember, they got water out of the rock. And the Bible says here something that I hadn't paid attention to early on. It said it followed them everywhere they went. Did y'all see that? And so it's Christ. Christ is with you the whole time. So even though they died in the wilderness, they made it in the heaven. They had Christ. Come on, that's the typology. And being born again is what gets you into heaven, but it doesn't get you the promises of God. Now watch the story here. It says, but even then, God was not pleased with how many of them? Most. This is a sad indictment right here. This is a sad indictment because, by the way, I'm reading out of the Good News Translation, so it may not sound exactly like your King James, but I love this translation. It says, but even then, God was not pleased with most of them. And this is why I said that strong and hard saying, and many people got offended at this, that most believers will not walk out the promises of God for them. Let me put it another way that's not so hard. God has much more in store than what you're walking in. How's that sound? Y'all like that better? God has much more. I'm working on it. See, I'm being discipled too. I'm learning how to make this more palatable. And so you understand that. Don't take offense to that. Speaker included, we all have more that God has in store for us. But the Bible makes it real plain here. It says God wasn't pleased with most of them because so their dead bodies were scattered over the desert. They died before they made it into their promised land. Now, all of this, say all. So every story, every detail is an example for us. Say for me. And look at this, to warn us not to desire evil things as they did. They did. They lusted and desired after evil things. They put stuff before God. They ain't have no time to get the word. They had to go and get stuff. Hit the person next to you. Say, pay close attention to all this. Because this is what will keep you from the promises of God. Are y'all getting it? Watch this. Nor to worship idols. Again, idols, that sounds so scary and spooky, but all an idol is anything you put before God. Now, nobody, I'm telling you, no one will admit that they have idols. And so you have to be discipled to know and to recognize these things. When you say, I don't have time for church, I don't have enough money to tithe, you have an idol before the things of God. Oh, it got real quiet in here. Because like I said before, most of them didn't make it in because they were doing these things. Hit the person next to you and say, wow, I didn't see that. Y'all get it? So when many of you think we're just doing tithe and offering, trying to get your money, we're trying to get you the promises of God. Why? Because many of you, I'll venture to say, most of you trust money more than you trust God. And the true test is, do you tithe and give? Are you relying on God as your source, or are you relying on you and your job as your source? Okay, so just that is, so it's relevant for all of us. We read this and we think, oh, that's the children of Israel. No, this is for us. And when you can't figure out why you're going around the same mountain for your entire whole life, why you're still broke, why you're still trying to run game, why your marriage isn't working out, why all this stuff is happening, the Bible's saying this is what it is. Come on, somebody. And you can change churches over and over again. You can change spouses over and over again. You can keep changing jobs till your resume is big as a whole thing of paper like this. And it's not going to matter because you got to get these things right. Hit the person next to you and say, we need this. So y'all understand, Pastor ain't mad. I'm not mad. I'm just trying to help you. Watch this. Nor worship idols as some of them did. In fact, the Bible showed us the first thing that they worshiped before they learned to worship God was their money. God gave them their inheritance before they went to Mount Sinai to show us when you get money. Remember, God told them to go over to the Egyptians, ask them for all their gold and all their wealth. And guess what? The Egyptians were so ready, so tired of those plagues of the frogs, the lice, the blood. They were so tired. They said, take all the gold. Just go. Our money doesn't mean anything here at all because of how we're living. Our lives are so messed up because we've made you all slaves. Just take our money and get out of here. They did. They all left there with big gold chains. Come on, Run DMC four-finger rings, big nugget gold. They left there with all kinds of stuff. And guess what they did with it? At Mount Sinai. While Moses was up there getting the word of God, they were down having, let me read it. Here it is. As the scripture says, the people sat down to a feast. One translation says a party, and turned it into an orgy of drinking and sex. Is that in the Bible? Yes. Now this was thousands of years ago. Come on. If this was going on thousands of years ago with God's people, are y'all going to be funny? Y'all right over here? Y'all right? Oh, y'all, I always get concerned about the side sections. Y'all right? Y'all ain't used to hearing that in church. You're used to hearing it somewhere else, but not at church. Right? So if that was going on then and there, you already know what's going on here and in the now. Come on, somebody. Hit the person next to you and say, we got to keep it real at church. We got to keep it real. Come on, somebody. Ain't nothing worse than some religious, come on, just faking the funk. I hate that. God does too. So watch this. We must not be guilty of sexual immorality. Do you know that the norm today, and sadly for believers, the norm in the world is shack up together, live together. The norm is homosexuality and lesbianism. And in one denomination, did y'all see it on the news last week? One denomination said, well, we've struggled over this so long that we've decided now to split the denomination. So half the denomination says we should marry homosexuals and gays. Two men should be able to be married and we should marry them. And half of y'all don't like it. So we're going to split off the denomination. We're going to be the group that says we get to do that. Who cares what the Bible says? And sadly, many believers don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Oh, don't let the Bible get in the way of what you believe. Just do what the government says. What? Just because a president put red, white, and blue on the White House, y'all getting nervous now. See? Right there. That lets me know you're not disciples. A president put the rainbow colors on the White House, telling the United States, don't do what the Bible says, do what we say. Uh-oh, y'all nervous about that? Y'all remember who that was? Y'all old enough for that, right? Look at y'all. I can't stand it. That's all right. I got to give accountability for what I'm teaching. Let me go on. We must not be guilty of sexual immorality, as some of them were. And in one day, 23,000 of them fell dead. We talked about that last week. We're under grace. That's not going to happen. But it's not up here just so we can say, see, don't let God's grace, mercy, and his love mistake it for his approval. Because you didn't fall over dead like them. Come on, somebody. Y'all get that? We must not put the Lord to a test, as some of them did. We'll read over that when we get to the wilderness. And they were killed by snakes. Snakes represent the devil. They were killed by the devil. We must not complain, as some of them did. And they were destroyed by the angel of death. Again, that's the devil, right? All these things happened to them as what? Examples for others. They were written down as a what? Warning. As a warning for who? Say me. All right, do y'all get that? Make it personal. For we live at a time when the end is about to come. Did y'all see that? And so that's what this whole journey is about. And that's why in the Bible it shows us that the children of Israel's journey from Egypt to Canaan, it was an 11-day trip. It was it says it right there in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It says it was an 11-day trip, but I couldn't take you that way. God said, I can't take you that way, because when you get over into Canaan and you see enemies there, you won't be ready for it. You have to be tested to be able. Come on, it's just like if you never went to school. Come on, somebody, if you never went to school, because our school system is to disciple us in education. To teach us those things, and there are certain standards, right? And last week we talked about that example. But if you never went a day in school and then tried to go into your promises of a career and to walk out what God has for you, you'd probably never do it. You'd be a miserable failure. Not because you weren't a good person, not because you weren't a sincere Christian, not because you didn't love the Lord, it's because you didn't learn anything. All right? Hit the person next to you and say, get comfortable. This is how he normally is. He always like this. All right, y'all with me? Okay, so then so only two of the original, and experts say it was somewhere between 2.5 million and 3 million people, but only two of the original adults over age 20 made it, Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else who was an adult over 20 died before they made it into the promised land. Come on, somebody. Why? And we found out last week it was for one reason. One reason they ended up in lust. One reason they ended up in idolatry. One reason, here it is, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't believe God. They didn't believe it. And we said last week, faith. They didn't have faith. They didn't have faith. So God took them. In fact, he said it like this. He says, I let you go hungry so I could give you manna from heaven. I let you go thirsty so I could give you water out of a rock. You remember? And it seemed like God was just playing with them. It's like, dang, 3 days after we walked through the Red Sea and they were all happy, 3 days later they're thirsty because they hadn't had any water to drink. And the water was bitter. And we'll go through those testings, but there were testings that they had to go through to see if they would trust God or just murmur and complain and die. Come on, somebody. Do y'all get what this is? Clap your hands if y'all get what I'm talking about. All right. So do you see how important it is for us to understand these things? All right? Now, the people refused to draw near to God. We found this out last week because we're talking about discipleship, how important it is, how important it was for them to learn what and to hear God's voice, to know what God's promises were, and to understand the principles that it gets to walk into all of his promises. But they refused. Here, look over in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 through 6. And then I'm going to look at chapter 20 and a couple verses there, all right? Exodus, here, because we're talking about this journey, it says, you have seen, here's God wooing them. God telling them why he's bringing them out. They just left out of Egypt, and he gets them out there in the wilderness, and he starts saying to them, he says, listen, here's why I got you out here. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God's trying to bring them to himself. He's trying to bring them near to him. Look at the next one. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. This is so important for you to understand. When I started dating Shanae years ago, and I had a nice home. I was proud of my home and all that stuff. And I invited her over to my home and have dinner and all that kind of stuff. And it was a big house for one guy because I'd been divorced. You get what I'm saying? It was a 4 or 5 bedroom house. The office is a nice house in Pickerington, Ohio, near a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, where we're from. And she came over. She said, this ain't your house. And she brought her mom over. Her mom came over with her. I invited her mom. Wanted her mom to come over. And her mom came over. She said, this ain't his house. I shouldn't have imitated her like that. But that is how she sounds. This ain't his house. And I went and got the deed of the house. I went and got it. And I said, yes, it is. And it's my house and all that kind of stuff. What was I trying to do? I was trying to woo her. And this is what God is doing here. He says, listen, children of Israel, if you keep my covenant, if you keep my word, I want you to be a special treasure to me above all the people, above all the women in Columbus, Ohio, above all the women everywhere. I want to be your man. Right? God saying, I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. And look what he says. And by the way, the whole earth is mine. Come on, somebody. I said, look, girl, I got a 2-car garage with only one car in it. One spot is for you right there. Look at this king-size bed. It's just me on this bed. I need somebody else up in this bed. See all these bedrooms? I need somebody else around his house. Come on, somebody. And that's what God was doing right here. He said, listen. He said, I want you to be a special treasure. And by the way, the whole earth is mine. I own everything. If you'll just draw near to me, I got every single thing you need. Come on, y'all see what God's saying here? So he wants to take them to Canaan land so he can show them how to walk out his covenant. That's what he just said. If you'll keep my covenant and hear, obey my voice. Jump to the next chapter when he talks to them. Look over at chapter 20. Look at chapter 20. Can y'all put it up there for me? Chapter 20, yes, verse 18. Look now he began talking to him from the mountain. And yes, God talks loud like that in the Old Testament. Watch what it says. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. God said, I want to draw you near to me. Then they said to Moses, look at here, Moses, you speak with us and we'll hear and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. Don't let God talk to us. Let him talk to you. Watch the next verse. And Moses said to the people, don't fear, for God has come to test you. And that you may fear, that his fear may be before you. In other words, he wants you to reverence him. He wants you to reverence him as God. And know what he's saying is true, that his fear or reverence may be before you so that you may not sin. So the people did what? Stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. The people stood afar off. And this is the account when Moses went up, after he came back down. Y'all remember, they said, don't let him talk to us anymore. And then right after that, Moses went up to receive the written law of God on the Ten Commandments on stone. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came back down, guess what the people were doing? We just read it. They were partying, getting drunk, and having an orgy. Y'all right? You okay? Okay? And so when God said, I want all y'all to draw near, they said, we ain't drawing near. Send Moses up there. You send him. And while Moses was gone, they turned it into a buck wild party. Come on, somebody. All right, I could go into great detail about this, but let's move on. Are y'all with me? Y'all get the point? And so this is why. Because they were unwilling to get the word and live by the word, they never passed any of the tests. Come on, y'all been in school before. How many of y'all been through school? High school, at least. Y'all been through school? Anybody ever not prepare for a test that was coming up? Okay, either y'all can't hear me or I'm the only bad student in this place. School was not my bag, baby. It was just not my thing. Was it, Mom? It was not my thing. until I got to college. Then I figured it out. You get it? Because it was like, hold up, I cannot live in this house forever. And they clearly let me know that. Hold up, son, you better start learning what they teach you at that school, because when you're out on your own, hold up, what you mean out on my own? Yes, you're going to be out on your own. So y'all get it? So watch what happened here. Here, let's look at what at the New Testament and what Jesus said about we must learn these principles. We must learn it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Look what Jesus said. Now, this is so important because after these are the last words after he's being resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father. He's walked with him for 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, came to earth, right? He's 30 years old, 30 and a half years, 32 and a half now. And he's done his earthly ministry. He's been to the cross. He's died. He's risen. He's walked with them for 40 days after his resurrection. Now he's about to go. This is the last time that they're going to see him on earth until he returns, right? So he says to him, what's most important? Here it is. He says, go therefore. He said, all power and authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make what? Disciples of all nations, not just where you are of all nations. And by the way, let me just tell you, the only way that every person in the entire world can know Jesus is through discipling. That's the only method. If one person, and I don't have time today to give you all the numbers, but what discipling is essentially is one person gets, this is what Jesus did. He discipled 12 guys, and then he left, and those 12 guys had to disciple others. And discipling is simply school. Let me just show you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe how many things? All things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus says, don't make converts, make disciples of them. And of course, we talked about this last week. So what is a disciple? Because Jesus never said make converts. And somehow in today's Christian environment, we've made converts, but not disciples. And most of the church worldwide, globally, they're not discipled. They're believers, but they're not disciples. All right? Now, and don't take offense at that. Please don't take offense at that. All of us need to be discipled. Amen. And it's a lifelong process. Now, watch this. Here, let me show you in the Bible so we understand it. First, let me give you this example. Christ said, let me give you the definition of a disciple. Disciple is a pupil, a student or scholar, a learner and doer of Christ's precepts and instructions, a disciplined one. It's someone who's disciplined. And again, do y'all know this in the Bible? Does anybody know how many books are in the Bible? 66. Anybody know how many are in the Old Testament? 39. How many in the New Testament? Just do the math. 27. 66 books that God has put in his book. Think about it, just in school. You in school, maybe in high school, you get about 5 books or so. 5 or 6 books, one per class, over the next 12 years. About 60-something books. Here we get, now what if we did school like we do church? Hand you all 66 of the books for your whole school career, high school career, and then go ahead at it by yourself. Most of us wouldn't be able to read now. Most of us would never graduate till we're dead. Saw this last week, right? Most of us would never do it because it takes someone discipling us. There must be a teacher, and that's what Jesus did. And so the fivefold ministry, part of our responsibility is that, to disciple you. Not to do the work of the ministry, but disciple you so you all do the work of the ministry. But that is the paradigm that we have to shift in order to do what the word says. And this is why believers die prematurely. They're not discipled. This is why they live in sin. They're not discipled. This is why their marriages fall apart. They love the Lord. Please hear me the right way. It's not a lack of sincerity. It's not a lack of commitment and loving God. It's a lack of knowledge of God's word. They don't know. And they're praying for things that God has already given them. They're praying and asking God to give them things that he's already given them. Are y'all with me? Amen. So Jesus said we've got to be discipled. Now, let's school make, oh, I said this in my notes. School makes scholars, at least they're supposed to, If you do what you're supposed to do. But churches made disciples, made converts, but should make disciples. And the Bible says, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Not sincerity, not love, not commitment, lack of knowledge. Now, I know that sounds offensive, but I'm telling you, and I showed you last week, that God said it. He says, in fact, in Paul's prayer in Ephesians, he says, I pray that you get a revelation knowledge of who Jesus is and who you are in him. You know, I don't pray that you get anything. You just got to know what you already have. There's no more power to give you. There's no more healing to give you. If there's no more, you've got it all right now. And that book, this book, and discipling is what's going to unfold it for you. But most people don't have enough time to make it to church on a consistent basis. Now, you cannot be discipled. And we gave this analogy last week. If in school, you only went to school, if you went to school for 30 hours a week, let's just say 25, you went to school 5 hours a day in elementary, kindergarten, you know, because you got lunch, you got snack, you have a break and all that stuff. Let's say 5 hours of teaching, 5 days a week, that's 25 hours. Isn't that right? Church, I teach about an hour a week on Sunday. So a whole year would be two, y'all get what I'm saying? A whole week in regular school would be half the year here. Missing no services. A whole year is just 2 weeks in school. Do you get how long it would take you to be discipled at 1 hour a week of learning? And that's assuming you came every week. Most of y'all can't make it 2 weeks in a row. Hit the person next to you and say, he's telling the truth right there. I got things to do. You probably ain't sitting next to the person you were sitting next to last week. Because either you weren't here or they're not now. Put your hands together. Just admit it. Come on, y'all. And so while we're sitting here trying to pray to God to give us a blessing and give us money and to do all this, it's being taught here and you're not learning it because you're not here. And I know you got every excuse in the world, just like the children of Israel did. But guess what? These principles are consistent. And God is not a respecter of persons. Just because he loves you doesn't mean that you're going to walk in abundance. Because he loves the world too. Come on, somebody. And just because you love him, the Bible said, you can read it right there, my people are destroyed for a lack of not love, not any of that other stuff. You and I don't know enough to walk in what God has for us. Hit the person next to you and say, it's right, but it's tight. Amen. All right, now let's move on. Turn over to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. We just got to make sure that we understand this, and then we're going to close down. But I didn't get time. I had to rush through this last week. Let's look over at John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32. Jesus talking here, and look who he's talking to. Jesus said to those Jews who did what? Say believers. Now, Jesus makes a clear, distinct difference between being a believer and being a disciple. Watch what he says. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So these are believers. Watch what he says. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Who is he saying it to? Believers. So a believer is different from a disciple. Now you got to be a believer to be a disciple. Are you with me? But most of us have stopped at believer. And what is the criteria for being a disciple? He said it right there. Back up. Yeah. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Stop there for a second, just because we don't use that word abide. To abide means to live in, to adhere to, like, and the example I gave is like you living inside of your body. How many of you know that you're a tripart being? You're three parts. You are spirit, you possess a soul, and you live inside of an earth suit called a body. In order to be in the earth and be alive, you got to live in an earth suit. You are abiding in an earth suit in your body. It's one with you. Come on, somebody. You live in it. That word abide means exactly that. If you live in my word. The old King James says, continue in my word, just like I'm continuing in my body. So this means every aspect of my life is based on what that word says. I base my marriage on what the word says. I base my health on what the word says. I base my children, raising my children, on what the word says. I base my vote on what the word says. Oh, I knew I'd get some tepid clapping there. Okay, y'all ain't ready for that yet, so I'm gonna jump right over that and move on. That's a hard saying, but it's real. And in these days we live in, you're going to have to learn that. You got to learn. You get what I'm saying? It's like, have you ever met a smoker? And if you're a smoker, I'm not putting you on blast here. If somebody's sitting next to a smoker, you know it because you smell them. You put yourself on blast, but watch. Do y'all know that every... Oh, jump to the next verse. I'll get to that in a sec. I want to show you what the difference is. Watch this. Look what he says. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Does the truth make you free? No. Knowing the truth makes you free. It's knowing the truth that makes you free. Not the truth. And you shall know the truth. How shall I know the truth? If you're a disciple, you'll know the truth. When you're a disciple, you continue in the word, and the result, the outcome is you'll know the truth, and the truth will automatically make you free. And so the acid test, the litmus test for being a disciple is freedom. And not just freedom, freedom indeed, Jesus put it. You'll be free indeed. What he means is, have you ever said, for real, for real? That's what indeed means. You'll be truly free indeed, for real, for real. Because you know, when you just say one for real, that ain't really for real. You have to read it in the old King James. Okay, so now watch. I want to bring up this word know, because it's the word gnosko again. That word where you know God, and it's like gnosko, and it means intimate, experiential knowledge that causes change and produces fruit. And the examples that we get in the Bible, I gave it to you when we did that other series on knowing God. It says Jesus said that eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. And the word that's used is the same word that was used in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it said Adam knew Eve and conceived a son named Seth. Knowing is this real close sexual intimacy, becoming one together. Come on, y'all get the idiom? Y'all get the analogy that he's making here. And so many believers know God, they love God, but they don't know his word. They've never made that jump over into really knowing the word. Are y'all with me? And again, I'm not trying to put condemnation on you. Don't feel bad about this. Just make the changes that are necessary, and we're gonna help you do it here at Destiny. Are y'all with me? All right, now watch. Have y'all noticed this? I was trying to give you an example of cigarette smokers. I didn't mean to put cigarette smokers on blast here. But every time, from what I've seen, and I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, but, and I'm not bragging about that. You get what I'm saying? But my point is, I have seen other people's cigarettes, and right on the side, it says this warning by the Surgeon General. May cause cancer. This will kill you. And do you think they don't know it? They do know it, but they don't gnosko it. Because when you gnosko it, now watch how quickly they'll change that habit if they go to the doctor and the doctor says, you got cancer and you got 6 months to live. Guess how quickly they can quit? Revelation knowledge came instantly. And some go, well, I'm done anyway. What the heck? Come on. Are y'all with me? I want you to just get the difference. When you know something, it causes change and to experience fruit. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you know, if you continue my word, you'll be a disciple indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth won't give you an option of freedom from cancer. It won't give you an option of freedom from addiction. It won't give you an option. It will make you free. Come on, somebody. Are y'all learning? So when we're not free, and we just got to be honest with ourselves, when we're not free, it's merely because we haven't been discipled in a particular area. Are y'all with me? Come on, somebody. All All right. Y'all learned all that, right? Let's move forward. Matthew, now we look at this. Let's look at this, Matthew chapter 10. Then I'm going to just show you some things real quickly about what we're going to do here at Destiny to help you. Now, again, we can't make you do anything. And I already know. Come on, is this too strong? I already know. Most of y'all could care less about this. But I'm telling you. This is what Jesus said. You got to hear this word. And you got to become a disciple of it if... when cancer comes, when sickness comes, when trouble comes, and it's coming, you're able to pass those tests in life. It's the only way. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I believe in this church. In this church, we can become discipled. Globally, as a whole body, most aren't going to do it. Why? Because most pastors aren't discipling their people. Are you with me? And that's why we've had to make this paradigm shift. So get the point. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm saying we have to make some changes, and we have. That's what we've done for 2020, and that's what I want to show you today so that you can get involved and get locked in. And I want to show you what that is. So let's hurry up. Those who love, watch what Jesus said. I read you it in Luke last week, but look at this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 39, I believe, in the Good News Translation. Those who love their father or mother more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who love their son or daughter more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Though, now watch. So first thing he says, any person that you put before me disqualifies you for discipleship. Now, what he's talking about there is when, now, because he wants us to love our wife. He wants us to, you know that. You're supposed to love your children. You're supposed to love your neighbor like Christ loves you. What he's saying, though, is if you put anything, any person before me. Now watch what this means. Can I just keep it real with you? What God says, Jesus says as a disciple is marriage is between a husband and a wife, and you're not supposed to have sexual relationships until then. And there's a reason for that. God isn't being a joy kill. He's the one who made you. He knows how it works. He knows the consequences of sex. He knows the implications of it. He knows what he designed it to do. And God, the manufacturer in the owner's manual, said, do it this way because that's how I made it. And to do it other than that will cause death and destruction in your life. All right? Now, the culture says, heck with that. Do it. It feels good. Do it. With whoever and whatever, it doesn't matter if it's male or female, do whatever, get down. And don't you tell me what to do. Isn't that what the world says? And sadly, the church is more discipled by the world and the culture than the Word and Christ. Come on. And so that's why believers get mad when I say, stop living together. If you're really committed, get married. I mean, you've been living together, you got all this stuff going on, you got a number of kids, and you got all this stuff going on. Why not get, it's just a piece of paper, don't matter. Well, then why don't you get one? I'll tell you why, because you want an easy way out. And you're not willing to make the commitment. Now they come up with all kinds of things. I ain't got the money. Come on, you've been living together for the last how many years? So yeah, what money? Now, by the way, and again, I'm not putting people on blast. You don't hear me calling names or anything like that. But we have to get this house in order. We have to get the house in order. And by the way, I did a wedding this week. I can marry. If you've been living together and shacking up with your spouse, and I mean with your boyfriend or girlfriend, do you know we've got a class and we want to teach you to do it right. But I can marry you in my office. And I don't charge you anything. Just come and I'll do it so we can get you going and get the blessing of God on your household. Do y'all get it? We want you blessed. We want your household blessed. So even if you say, Pastor, I'm planning on getting married in July, I say, well, okay, well, if you're living together now, just come by my office, your spouse, you and your girlfriend, and I'll marry you up in my office. Get in our classes. Since y'all been living together, you got 13 kids already. You all right? You all right? Come on, you know them. If it ain't you, you know them. Come on, somebody. And all they're doing is just, why? It's because they haven't been discipled properly. Not pointing fingers, but right here, we got to disciple people properly. Amen? And set the standard. Come on, y'all know we're the church and not the world. Amen. Come on, somebody, y'all right? Now, Turn over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, on Wednesdays, and I'm going to show you everything that we're doing. We're about to close down here, shut down the service because we want to get this other thing going. But this year, we are putting things in place to make sure that you're discipled. And one of the things that, now we can't make you do it. We can't make you do it. You get it? And that defies the whole point. Jesus said, God said it like this in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. If you be willing and obedient. So it defeats the purpose if we try to make you do it. Now, I can say you can't be on our leadership team if you don't have these things in order. You can't be on my platform. And I have to straighten out those things. Y'all understand that? Y'all saw what happened to the children of Israel. I don't want it to happen to us. I don't want it to happen to you individually. I don't want you to see you not getting all that God has for you. You say, we love you, Pastor. Some of y'all ain't say it. Come on. I'm feeling unloved because y'all feel shade. And it's not shade. It's not heat. It's just truth. Come on. We're the house of God. We're the people of God. Amen? All right. Okay. All right. So understand that. We got to straighten all these things out. And again, remember, if you got situations going on and you're here in leadership or on my platform, I'm going to address you. So I'm giving you time now to make the call first. Call me. Get it right. And some of y'all have already done that, and I appreciate it. And just know I can marry you right in my office, and we get that moving. And then if you say, well, you know, we really don't want to be married, I just helped you. Now you know. I was like, I ain't doing it. Well, why not? We got 13 kids. Okay, where was I? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, 11 through 16. Now, this is one of the problems. We've misunderstood what ministry is all about. We think that I'm the ministry and y'all are the lay people. That's not what the Bible says. We're all in the ministry. Watch this. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm reading out the NLT. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. Look at what it says here, their responsibility. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. Y'all thought I'm supposed to do his work, and y'all just do whatever, y'all do whatever you want. Pastor, you can't get drunk because you're in the ministry. We're not. We can get drunk. Pastor, now watch. Come on. Honestly. If I was shacking up with somebody, would y'all come to this church? Some of y'all in the back was like, well, because you're looking for an excuse to do what you want to do. No. If you're in your right mind, you wouldn't. That was a little strong, but it's real. All right? No. If you saw me out drunk, would you? You'd be taping it and putting it on Facebook, telling everybody to get the heck out of that church. Wouldn't you? But I'd be seeing y'all on Facebook. I'm drunk, y'all. Did they forget they friended me? Hey, and when y'all take your pictures like this, and y'all standing in the mirror, what if Sinead, me and Sinead, y'all be so up out of this church, putting us on blast, talking about us, because that's stanky. Right? But why you think it's all right for you and not all right for me is because you separate the ministry from you. But the Bible lets us know you are actually the ministry. And my job is to train you to do the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. You're to do it. I'm the teacher to do it. Are y'all with me? Okay, let's move on to the next one. Next verse, please. This will continue until we all come. Okay, let's stop right there and move on to that'll continue on until Jesus comes, all right? Let me read some rest. This will continue until we all come into such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He said the whole point of this is so the body of Christ grows up. Then we will no longer be what? immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Next. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, doing what? Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of this body, the church. Last verse. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work, as each part of the body does its own special work. Now, I'm teaching in detail what this means because this is the first part of understanding discipleship, understanding who you are and what your responsibility is. God has gifted each of you, but until you understand who you are as a believer, you'll never walk out your unique call. Your unique call with your gifting. You can't do it unless you understand the corporate call. But I understand many of you are too busy for Wednesdays. Too busy. Again, that's an hour. Now, again, if you went to school, you'd have to go 20, 30 hours a week. But an hour in here, and I'm not counting the praise and worship, but if the word. You get it? So we put some things in place to help you. We're making some shifts and some changes. Because in order to be a disciple, you've got to hear the word consistently. Not just hear it, but you have to be taught it. Amen? All right. Look over at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it's got to be something that you can put into your lifestyle. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, like exercise. Many people don't exercise because they haven't found a way to put it into their daily routine. If there's going to be any significant change in your life, it's got to become habit, part of your daily routine. You are the result of your habits. The secret to your success is hidden in your daily routine. The flip side of that coin is the secret to your failure is also hidden in your daily routine. What you're doing on a daily basis has brought you the results that you're experiencing right now. And if you're going to change the result that you have in your life, you're going to have to change what you do on a daily basis. Hit the person next to you and say, it's got to be a daily thing. Are y'all with me? How many of y'all plan to eat today? How many of y'all ate yesterday? How many of y'all ate 10 years ago on this same day? You don't even have to look on the calendar. The answer is yes. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all plan to eat pretty much every day for the rest of your life? Come on, somebody. How many of y'all plan to eat more than once a day for the rest of your life? Come on, somebody. Hit the person next to you. Come on, I see that they've been eating. Don't make me pick you out. I can see. Me too. All right? Look at this. Here's how the apostles. And one day after Jesus risen from the dead, the day of Pentecost came in Acts chapter 1, the day of Pentecost, and Peter stands up and starts preaching, right? And he says, hey, these people aren't drunk. We're not drunk like you suppose. We just got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And as he's preaching that whole chapter 2, 3,000 people get saved. They get born again. And look what he says. They devoted themselves, this is the commentary, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Four things that they had to do on a regular daily basis. Watch this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Number one, that's the word. Number two, to fellowship. Number three, to breaking of bread. That's covenant. That's commitment, all right? And to prayer. Four things that they did on a daily basis. Go to the next one. Verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Not in the temple, but in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord did what? Added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why were they growing? Because they were growing. Why was the church growing? Because they were growing. When the church doesn't grow, it's because the people aren't growing. Growth is a natural outcome of being discipled. Your children will, if they're fed properly, been given the right social environment, they're going to grow and develop naturally. God put it in their DNA. It's in them. If something happens where their growth gets stunts, either you stop feeding them, if their growth mentally stops, it's because something's happened socially or mentally. Somehow you took them out of an environment that would cause them to grow naturally. And when you and I and the church isn't growing naturally, it's because we haven't been in the right environment. Come on, somebody. So, again, not your fault. I take full responsibility. So guess what we've done? We've made some changes. And this is what today's service is about, to show you what we've done and how you can be a part of it. Look at this. What Destiny does. You can put it on my notes up here. What Destiny is doing in 2020 to ensure you can be discipled. You can be. We can't make you. You can be, but we can't make you. That's important that you understand that. I'm not going to call everybody. I'm not going to run you down and start saying, why aren't you there? Why aren't you getting this? That is not my job. If you want to move ahead and get into the promises of God, how many of y'all realize there's more that God has in store for you? How many of you realize from the scriptures, most just being born again will not make it into the promises of God? They'll die early, they'll die sick, they'll die broke, they'll die with all kinds of problems just like the world does if we're not discipled. So it's up to you. It's up to you. But here's what we're doing this year, all right? Why we call it the year of this becoming a disciple. Number one, our Sunday worship service. Our Sunday worship service is where you can get the word, you can get some of that community and that fellowship, some, right? But our worship service, every Sunday, if you can't be here Sunday, guess what? We put it online right after service so you can get it. All of my notes are right there online right now. If you wanted to get the notes that I got up here, they're right there. And I encourage you to do so because I put some stuff in here for those who would download it to tell you what I read on a daily basis. You don't have to do it that way, but just some stuff that you can hear, not even read, but listen to, all right? Wednesday, we're doing specifically teaching on disciple. We're showing you and giving you the tools. Now, on a Sunday morning, because it's a larger group, it's on television, I can't go into deeper details. I just skim the surface. What you're getting on Sunday is real skimmed stuff. I give you, on Wednesdays, I want to get deeper and show you how to do it. Now again, we had growth this Wednesday. A lot more came. But many of you, and I get it, you've got busy schedules. So we're doing some things. We're getting some administrators and teachers to help us with our kids. We're working out some of those details so you can bring your kids where if they've got homework, like my son sits back in my office in the green room every Wednesday doing his homework because he has so much homework. Well, we know, you know, we work here, so we have to come, but we want teachers to help us out with students. Your kids, if they're struggling in school, guess what? We want to help them. We want to help them to get their schooling done and help them. And if they've got all their homework done, then we've got game rooms over there. We've got all kinds of stuff and for them to have fun. We'll keep them organized and while you're in here for an hour getting discipled. If it's important to you, amen? So that's Sunday and Wednesday. And again, that's 2 hours. You get what I'm saying? 2 hours of teaching, essentially, that you'll get. But you need it. Do y'all get that? But again, all right. And so then Destiny University. You see these pastors. We've got Marriage on the Rock class. You've got to be taught in marriage. You've got to be taught in finances. We've got Financial Peace class. We're starting a new Raising Children class. Kids are hard to raise. We're starting some new classes that we'll do that. All right. Then Experience. We've got a new membership orientation class that we're going to ask everybody to go through. Just one session. Experience Destiny is what we're calling it. I know y'all called it Destiny Experience, but I changed it to Experience Destiny. All right, one session. Then we're starting these new classes on Sunday called Next Steps Class. When many people come to the altar, they need to know what to do next. They don't know what to do. So we've got 4 weeks of classes that'll run right before service where we teach you. You come to the altar to get born again, to get rededicated, to get, you know, whatever the case, we're going to encourage you to go to that class right before service that next week. And that all this will be starting in March. We'll have all those things ready for you by March, all right? So if you can hold on till then, we can get you really good and disciple. Now, you can come on Sunday and Wednesday, and you can get my notes and all that kind of stuff. All right, so the next steps, I won't tell you all the details of that. But then, put my diagram up, my next diagram. D teams, and then we're starting some D life groups. Here's what it takes, according to Acts, to become a mature disciple. You've got to have worship experience, and that's where they were meeting together and having worship services, just the church. But then they said they were fellowshipping in their homes. Remember that? So if you just came to one Sunday service, you're not going to get what it takes to become a mature believer. You're going to get one aspect, and essentially what you'll do is eventually drop out because you've got to have some others with you. You've got to get connected to people. We put on our doors. So we're starting some, we've got these D teams where you volunteer. Let me get to D teams last, but we want to start these D life groups. We call them Destiny life groups where people will be able to meet in their homes and based around hobbies, based around different stuff. And I'll get in, I don't have enough time to go into details about that. But we'll do different things where you can be a part of a group at home. But we have to have people that are discipled to lead those groups. Because y'all know some Christians are crazy. Have y'all figured that out yet? Not y'all, but the people who will be here next week when y'all are sitting at home. And then I'll say y'all are crazy. I'm just kidding. All right? So you need that community, that fellowship, that breaking of bread. Now that serving is, now every believer should be serving in some capacity. Every believer, because that's a part of this whole thing. When they said they made covenants together, it's they were breaking of bread. In these groups and in this part of serving, it's a connection that you need. You've got to be serving. In fact, if you just went to college and never utilized those gifts out there in the real world, what good would it do you? The whole point is in serving it. And so all three of these elements together make up what makes a mature. And if you'll see, it takes all three parts. So every one of us need to be a part of a Bible, be a part of the Bible study, the discipling classes, come into the worship here, you know, get on a team serving. If you can't make it to one of the worship services, show up in the group, or make that a part of your life. Do y'all see? We want to make it so you can walk out what God has for you. We want this place to be a place where no person falls off, no person dies of any premature disease, no person falls off and gets messed up in stuff. We want every person to be a disciple and then begin discipling others. Are y'all listening to me? Close your Bible.